Is corporate America in some ways threatening the First Amendment? We're going to talk about that with Adam Weiss, an attorney. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And I'll tell you what the springboard of this conversation is. After the melee in the Capitol on January 6th, January 7th, Josh Hawley tweeted, he is a senator, and he was one of those who said, look, we need to look at the issue of voter irregularities here before we go ahead and just, you know, declare Joe Biden as the lawfully elected president. Well, Simon & Schuster canceled a book deal with Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, and he tweeted on January 7th, this could not be more Orwellian. Only approved speech can now be published. This is the left looking to cancel anyone they don't approve of. I will fight this cancel culture with everything I have. Okay, Adam Weiss now joins us to discuss this whole issue of cancel culture. And Adam, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Jerry, thanks for having me. Full disclosure, we don't need another attorney in America. We have enough. I run a communications PR firm, and I'm a book agent, so this kind of subject fits right in my wheelhouse.
Oh,
I publish books for people.
Yeah. Oh, well, forgive me. I thought somehow you were an attorney. Somehow I got that impression. Okay, sorry about that. Well, appreciate your clarifying that. So do you think that in some ways free speech is at risk in America today, and that corporate America plays a role in that risking of free speech, or that curtailing of free speech?
Corporate America has a big responsibility here to stand up for freedom of speech, and they're doing the opposite. They're standing up. They're falling right in line with the woke mob that we live in our society today. That's against our individual liberty, against our freedom, against other things we hold dear in America. And I'm scared to see if this is what we're seeing without even the new administration of Biden Harris coming in. I'm scared to see what's going to happen in the coming year, which is pretty scary what's happening. As I said earlier, I can't even keep up with the news. I'm in the PR business, communications business, book agent business, but news is coming so fast. A lot of it's negative. I tend to be an upbeat person. So you read it, you look down, it kind of depresses you, but in the business I'm in, we have to read news all the time. We have to stay up to date. But the things that are just happening so quick. I just read an article today. Deutsche Bank and Signature Bank is banning Trump administration, his Trump campaign, and his private companies from doing banking with them. Does that sound American? The wow. President of the United States? Because the mob in Washington lied about what he said last week?
You know, it's funny. I actually listened to the speech and then unplugged. And then about 2 hours later, a friend said, did you hear what's happening in the Capitol? I was like, what? No. And I would have had no idea, having listened to the speech, that was supposedly the results from that. I mean, it was just shocking. I mean, I think he was just saying, look, this isn't fair. But you're not allowed to say that these days, I guess. It's almost like...
No, you can't.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was sitting watching in the speech. And as I write speeches and I give people advice on media, and nothing's wrong with speech. I'm still trying to figure out, is he inciting? Nothing's not inciting anything. And at the end, he said, and he kept saying it twice, he said, let's march over there, but peacefully. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out where in his speech did he incite violence? Did he incite an insurrection? In 5 years of those supporters standing on the mall, 500,000 or 1 million, being called every name in the book, racist, misogynist, neo-Nazis, sexist pigs, every name in the book. And then they do march over to this Capitol, and they do have a little frustration. Then they're wondering why. Why could they march over? How are they allowed to march over to Congress? Well, let me see, you bullied for a group of people from Hollywood to the education to the media that always lectures us on bullying. Now, don't bully this, don't bully that. You've bullied these people for 5 years. They're not allowed to have a date, a little frustration. Then I got a call, Jerry, later that night from I don't even know the guy, somebody's first name, was Jerry Sullivan. He says, somebody introduced me, Adam. Can you get me to the media? My brother was Antifa. My brother was in the crowd. My brother was in the Congress. He broke open. My brother was standing next to the woman that was murdered. Can you help me? Because I like the Patriots. I like the movement. My brother's an instigator in Antifa from, can you get this message out? If you type the name in John Sullivan, he's in a lot of articles. So all the congressmen and all the senators, even Republicans that run and say, this was all Republicans, conservatives. No, there's a lot of instigators, Antifa. They're all over Washington, D.C. They know what they were doing. They said, we'll go infiltrate the crowd. If they march over, we'll cause trouble. And I'm still not convinced. I read an article that the Washington police force asked the Capitol Heights police for help a couple of days ago, and they just ignored them. So how could the most secure place in the United States, the United States Senate, where the vice president was doing business with the Secret Service, the military police, Secret Service, allow a mob to just run around the Capitol? It had to be like a lax plan. Something seems fishy and wrong.
Yeah, I've heard reports even where it's certain sections where the people were streaming in and the police there, the Capitol Hill police, were doing nothing, you know, almost like, and somebody even said, we're on your side, you know, whispered that kind of thing. So they were letting them do it. And then there was vandalism, which is, you know, horrible as well. What a mess.
Complete mess. And it's the perfect opportunity. Like I said, I was watching it go down. I think the vice president gave his letter in that he's not going to object to anything. He didn't even allow, it was kind of rude because he didn't allow the president to even finish his speech. He handed his letter in. So the crowd started going over to Congress. It's a far walk. So, I mean, you mean to tell me, it's not like they walked across the street. They had to actually, you know, look at a distance. With aerial footage and police all around, they didn't know that thousands of people are marching over there to get prepared and ready. Of course they did. This is like a setup. Let's make them look bad. And it almost all works in sync. And the media started having a meltdown before they knew anything was going bad. I had Fox on, which is just as almost that day, just as bad as the other networks. And they were having a meltdown before they realized people were hurt or before the glass was even broke. They're having a meltdown that people were having that were just standing there protesting. Where were they when where were all these groups in media when 2 years ago when the left feminists were storming Kavanaugh hearings, running into elevators, screaming at senators? When it's their side, they're called progressives, they're called activists, they're called, you know, leaders. And then when it's our side, it's an insurrection, it's a rampage, it's a mob. You see the difference the way they frame it?
Well, and also the last 6 or 7 months, we've seen all the big protests of Black Lives Matters and Antifa, where there's at least 25 people dead, many police were killed or injured, and, you know, not to mention all the rioting and looting and vandalism on steroids, and yet, no, these were mostly peaceful protests.
Right where I lived in New York City, destroyed, you'd never seen anything like it in your life. It was just... The whole Soho was ripped apart, windows broken, theft everywhere, wall-to-wall streets, upper Midtown, Upper West Side. And you wouldn't know it unless you listened to some, you know, read the right sites. Or if you turn on most of the media, it's peaceful protests. What?
Wow.
I mean, Atlanta was destroyed. Atlanta was, you know, destroyed. Cops were killed. You know, Wendy's were burned down. Portland courthouse was taken over for 2 months, a federal courthouse. And that, not a whisper. That's federal property. But when Antifa takes that over and tries to destroy a federal court, that's okay, right? But when conservatives, patriots decide to march Congress, that's not allowed.
Well,
it's an insurrection.
Yeah,
I've never heard the word insurrection used this much in my life. Have you?
No, that's a good point. And by the way, I mean, that word is in, as I understand it, is in the Constitution, and it was even an insurrection, a true insurrection, you know, in 1786, Shays Rebellion, which in some ways caused the Founding Fathers to say, okay, we've got to revise the Articles of Confederation. They ended up producing the Constitution a year later. So, but I do want to talk about big tech, because they're a part of corporate America, and boy, are they engaged in censorship, it seems to me. Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey of Twitter, etc.
Yeah, I think big tech is worse than even the government, because the government, if the government, the IRS says you owe taxes, you did this wrong, you have a chance to fight it, right? If, even if you get charged with a crime, you get a lawyer, you fight it, you could, yeah, we have, you have ways to defend yourself, ways to fight in America. If big tech says, okay, we're throwing you off, you, there is no appealing, there is no fighting, it's, you're done. The president of the United States, the leader of the free world, was thrown off Twitter. They, because they don't like his speech. It's just unbelievable. And they purged like a million conservatives just making up things that, you know, they just come up with these wild, they come up with wild conspiracies, why, what somebody did wrong, and then throw them off. And that is, and then now that Facebook says nobody's allowed to use the word stop the steal, that's being wiped off. No videos from that, no videos talking about that is going to be wiped off. You know, I can just name one after the show called The War Room was thrown off YouTube the other day. Brendan Strocker's Brexit.
Excuse me, is that the Steve Bannon thing? The War Room?
Steve Bannon, The War Room. Very okay. popular show, podcast. YouTube said, just cut him off. They told me a Friday, done, bye. No reason, just cut him.
Wow.
He talked about the protest. He talked about the steal. He talked about the injustice. He talked about, you know, the bias. And, you know, I mean, we're not even allowed to talk about that on tech censorship in the tech sphere anymore. And, you know, they say, well, this is like East Germany and Nazi Germany and the communists. But what about back then? At least the people knew. They had like a couple of newspapers way back then. So they'd get propaganda from both papers.
Yeah.
Maybe they had one TV channel. So people were still able to talk in the square. That's how they communicated. People communicated by talking to their neighbors. That was the means of communication. So they knew. Now our means of communication are Facebook, Twitter, and we're being banned. So they say, let's go start another platform. Yeah, it's not that easy when they control the whole market. And you got to be a billionaire to start something that's like a Facebook or a Twitter.
Yeah, you know, I remember when Dennis Prager was filing his lawsuit against YouTube and its parent company, Google, because they were censoring some of his videos, and it was just purely for, you know, political content. I mean, for example, classic case, Victor Davis Hanson, I think he's a very respected columnist, wise thinker, historian, etc. Okay, so he did a Prager video on explaining what the Korean War was all about. Well, for whatever reason, Google and its the parent company of YouTube decided to put that in the category virtually of pornography. This is not allowed to be heard. And that was one of many examples where Prager was suing them. But he said, look, let me use an analogy. If Delta Airlines said, we will not allow conservatives to fly on our airplanes anymore, you could even still have a choice because you could go with United or American Airlines or Spirit or something like that. But he said with Facebook and YouTube and Google, there's only one of these things, Twitter. There's only one. So, okay, we have less than a minute to go, but your thoughts?
100%. And maybe the airlines, I read a story where a couple of Trump supporters were thrown off. It was Delta or United. So
yeah, Delta.
Maybe it's even Delta. It's even getting to that extent. So, I mean, we're in a scary place. We try to be upbeat, but you know, every time we turn on the news, we open a newspaper or a website and TV, it's something more negative that corporate America is teaming up with the tech oligarchs. And you know, something has to be done with these tech companies. Something really antitrust, or you know, taking them down or suing them, because this is just un-American. This is not what we stand for as a country. I mean, there's more freedom in Russia right now, and even in China, than we have in America.
Wow. All right, let me give you a website. It is amwpr.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Adam.
Right.
All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.